Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, we're back with All Paws Pet Talk Radio and your host, Deb Wolf. And right now I have Dr. Carol Osborne joining the show, and she's going to talk about homemade meals. Have you ever felt guilty as you finish up your stir fry and you hand a little piece of the meat to the dog? Or you go through your fridge and you find that leftover bowl of something like stew and you think, I don't really feel like eating this, but look at that dog. Look at that cat. She so wants it. Do you feel bad about that? Well, maybe you shouldn't. Okay, tell us why it's okay to feed your dogs and cats stuff that we eat ourselves, Doctor.
Well, thank you, Deborah. And as a pet owner yourself, I'm sure that worrying about table food or table scraps or what you can or cannot give your pet has been something that's probably crossed your mind more than once as well.
You know, it's seeing the results. It's seeing pets who are fed scraps look it so good that makes me question the stuff I was taught when I went through, you know, dog training and apprenticeship and courses through the BC.
Sure.
And all this stuff. And it was all about packaged dog food, and I don't see the results I should be seeing.
That's a great statement, because there's definitely a difference between table scraps and table food. But table food, offering your pets top quality nutrition, is as good for you as it is for your pets. And you're probably thinking, well, gosh, you know, you've heard all those warnings, you know, avoid chocolate and garlic and onions, macadamia nuts, grapes and raisins. Well, definitely, if your pet eats a tidbit of any of those foods, it's not going to be fatal.
Right.
And although eating large volumes of those foods do have the potential to be a threat to your pet's health, in general, most are very far from deadly. And for those of you that are out there that might be a little bit frustrated by the rage of pet food recalls and salmonella-infested food and whatnot that's out there, in addition to the pricey tags that are on those bags and cans, trying to make a meal for your pet at home is actually quite simple. And what I do is I divide it into three portions. The first portion, or the first one-third, is going to be lean protein. So, Deborah, sources of lean protein would be any kind of meat, chicken, turkey, beef, and veal, to duck, venison, fish, or even eggs. We would then take our second third, which would be long-acting carbohydrates. Now, that would include potatoes, rice, pasta, or oatmeal. Those would be examples. And the final third would be fresh vegetables.
You know what? Love oatmeal.
Yes, and the final one-third would be fresh vegetables. So we're talking about broccoli, cauliflower, spinach, green beans, lima beans, peas, or even carrots. For those of you with allergic dogs, where you're trying to cut the carbs, go ahead, just modify that. Make it 50% lean protein and 50% veggies, and just get rid of the carbohydrates. For you cat owners, remember that cats are obligate carnivores designed to eat meat, which is usually protein. So about 80% lean protein and about 20% veggies is perfect if you're a cat owner. So what do? Well, first step, you cook the ingredients if you want to cook them, or you can leave them raw if you're into feeding raw. But your options for cooking would include broiling, boiling, frying, baking, and grilling. Personally, I think the crock pot's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, I do.
Once everything is cooked exactly the way you want it, you just mix them together. Add a teaspoon of extra virgin olive oil. Now, you might be wondering why. The extra virgin olive oil enhances the smell and the taste. It's also a great source of essential omega-3 fatty acids. And finally, remember to season your pet's meal so that it smells good, because if it doesn't smell good, as you know, Deborah, they don't even walk up to the bowl. And the top three flavors that most pets enjoy, barbecue sauce, pasta or tomato sauce, something called low-sodium tamari sauce, which is what a lot of that Chinese carryout comes in. It looks like soy sauce, but it's called tamari. You can buy a bottle at most grocery stores for about $1 to $1.50. And it's that easy. And then you might say, well, how do I balance that meal out for my pet? Talk to your veterinarian and just add in a comprehensive, balanced, antioxidant vitamin mineral supplement. We use the Paws Pet Vitamins, and our results have been absolutely excellent.
What about amounts? Like when you turn over the dog food bag, it says 2 to 6 cups per day, and you sit there going, well, is it 2 cups or 6 cups? You know, okay, even when you look up the weight of your dog, it's difficult to know what the recommended dose is.
That's a great point. Remember that dog food companies are in business to sell dog food. So don't be tainted by the recommendations on those bags. The amount that you would feed your dog of a homemade meal would be identical to that of what you might purchase in a can or a bag. So for your average 30 to 35-pound dog, 1 cup of food twice a day usually works. Dogs that are 50 to 60 pounds, you're looking at 2 cups twice a day. Dogs that are over 60 pounds are probably going to need about 3 cups twice a day just to keep their bellies full.
Now, some of that, I love that you spelled it out like that, but a lot, you got to pay attention to age. So if you have a fast-growing 8-month-old lab puppy, he is not going to eat the 2 cups that his weight might indicate, or the 1 cup even. He's going to be eating a lot more, maybe 4 cups, maybe 5 cups. Don't worry about that if he's lean.
That is also a very good point. And instead of trying to measure, balance, weigh, if you will, for those of you that do have young, in this case, growing puppies, what you want to do is feed your dog according to how your dog is growing. Remember that puppies should be leggy and they should be ribby. They shouldn't look like little conformation dogs. The rule of thumb is you should be able to easily feel but not see each rib. They should be tucked up right where the hind legs attach to the belly in a little area that we call the flank and have a little waist. So put your meals down, leave the food down 10 to 20 minutes, and then pick it up. Don't free feed your pet. That leads to obesity. If every day your pet looks at you with great big eyes and gobbles his meal down in about 3 seconds, well, he's telling you he's still a little bit hungry, so you want to increase the ration a bit. On the other hand, if every day your pet leaves a given amount of food, then that's the amount that you're feeding in excess, so you want to back down a bit.
If you're wondering right now if your dog or cat is too fat or too skinny, an easy way to tell is to just walk into the closest vet clinic near you and look at the posters on the wall. They almost always have a dog or cat poster showing both, showing lean, too lean, overweight, obese. And that's because so many people right now have obese pets. What you were saying was really, really important, and I just want to go over that a little bit about the
explain that a little more closely. You can go to the vet, you can look at all those posters and all those charts, but you know what? You can do it right in your living room. What you want to do with dogs is stand behind your dog and take either hand and put it on either side of the dog's rib cage, right behind the front legs. And the rule of thumb is, as you slide your hands from the front legs along the rib cage towards the hind legs, you should be able to easily feel but not see each rib. And your dog should have a waist, which is a tucked up area right in front of the hind legs. So if you can see and feel each rib, and there's a big spinal cord sticking out, your dog is far too thin. On the other hand, if you can pinch more than an inch, it's probably time to think about cutting back. But as a veterinarian, I will say that before you start any major weight loss program or make a big nutritional change in your pet's protocol, always talk to your veterinarian first. Be sure that other things, hypothyroidism, Cushing's disease, would be just two examples of diseases that can mimic obesity or make it look like a pet is getting kind of chubby when in reality there's an internal medical issue that needs to be resolved.
Okay, everybody, we're almost ready for the break. We're going to come back and give you a little recipe, but so you have to stay tuned to hear it. But we're also going to talk about Labor Day and what you might do with your pets. And I just want to say that feeling, when you feel the ribs, it's kind of like when you walk down the staircase and you run your hand along the banister, along the rails of the banister, and you sort of feel your hand go ka-clunk, ka-clunk, ka-clunk. It's like that. You should feel that.
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you what, in cats, the fat pad on a cat is much different than that of a dog. It's located in the inguinal area or in the groin, which is right in between the hind legs, just behind their belly. And it'll get so big, it'll get like the size of a tennis ball.
Like a cushion. Yeah.
And
okay.
I've even had clients bring cats into me thinking it was a tumor, when here it was just a big bunch of extra.
Yeah,
extra
both cats
body
like
weight,
cats
I would say.
Are, so it's tough to mind. All right, everybody, stay tuned. We'll be back with a recipe and some tips for Labor Day on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Hello, you're back with All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and it's Deb Wolf hosting, and I'm talking with Dr. Carol Osborne. She's coming to us from Ohio, but she's telling us how you, from your own kitchen, can feed your pets. And we're going to have a recipe soon, and we're going to talk about Labor Day. So we were just ending the last segment. We were talking about that fat pad. Your cat might look perfectly skinny to you, but if you feel underneath it, there shouldn't be a little mound of flesh like a cushion underneath your cat.
Now, if your cat shouldn't have a tennis ball between his hind legs.
There you go. So if there is, there might be a problem. But what you were saying about the cats being carnivores, I think what you wanted people to understand from that was your recipe breakdown is different for cats, right?
There's yeah, no in cats you want to go with about 80% lean protein and 20% fresh veggies. You don't need any carbs because that's just the way God made cats.
Mm-hmm. And then the
so
dogs.
If you're wondering,
again with the dogs, with the protein was it 30?
With the dogs, you can go one third, and one third. In other words, 33% of each.
Okay.
Or for those of you with allergies that want to avoid those carbohydrates, just go 50-50. So if you're wondering if a chicken breast, a sweet potato, and a broccoli would be as healthy for you as it is for your canine. It definitely is. And for those of you out there that might want to talk a little more about recipes and pet nutrition, you're welcome to call my office directly. Our toll-free phone is 1-866-DR-CAROL or 1-866-372-2765. And we welcome questions, consultations, and give us a call anytime.
Oh, nice. Thank you very much. My listeners will appreciate that. I'm sure there's people out there thinking, my dog has cancer. How do I alter this recipe? My dog's on steroids. My dog's hungry all the time. There's some stuff out there. I mean, when your dog's on prednisone or something like that, he's like a walking Hoover, you know? And I bet you've got tips to not only help them with the side effect, but also maybe get them off the prednisone. Because I think a lot of times we're fighting our dog's immune systems when really a diet change would do the trick. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that you're absolutely right, and you mentioned something worth an extra moment, and that's cancer. We have what we refer to specifically as anti-cancer diets. And what we do to fight cancer nutritionally is we eliminate as many carbohydrates as possible from the diet, because that's what cancer cells live on.
So, it makes them grow, right? It makes them grow faster.
Yeah, they grow, live, and thrive on the carbohydrates. So the rice, potatoes, pasta, macaroni, noodles, all those.
So at the same time, you're giving your dog some kind of treatment to get rid of his tumor. It doesn't make sense to give him commercial dog food that's full of grain that's going to grow the tumor. That's what you're saying, right?
That's exactly right. So because in a normal diet, we derive our primary energy source from the carbohydrate, which, again, the potatoes, the pasta, the rice. But what we do in patients that have cancer, both human and four-footed, is we replace the energy source. We go from carbohydrates to fat. Now, 1 gram of fat offers 9 kilocalories of energy versus a gram of carbohydrates, which only offers 4. So we use very fatty meat, and that represents the mainstay of the diet. And to that, we add all kinds of vegetables. And that is primarily, we put the fat in there so as to maintain the animal's muscle mass and also to prevent what we refer to as cancer cachexia, or the weight loss and the muscle wasting that occurs when pets have cancer.
Yeah, and I know most of us think we would not want to eat fat. We've been taught in a really modern way that fat is bad and grain is good.
It's contrary to everything that we have learned.
You know, we have to look at our dog or cat and see that if you offer them a bowl of rice or a tiny piece of fat off a steak, you know what they're going to go for. You just know. There's a reason for that, right?
You're absolutely right about that. So for those of you out there, for any of our All Pause Pet Talk loving listeners that may have pets with cancer, if you're thinking about homemade, if you're cooking chicken, you want the chicken with the skin. You don't want anything lean, so just forget all about that lean protein. You want protein with fat, so you want the chicken with the skin. You want the steak, for example, with the fat. Again, we're maintaining energy and muscle mass by feeding heavily marbled or very fatty types of meat, and then we're using spinach and a variety of vegetables to round that diet up out. I have a specific anti-cancer diet that I've used on many pets, and the biggest ingredient that is pork back fat, which sounds dreadful, but I have yet to find a dog with cancer who doesn't absolutely devour the meal.
Do you know what? It sounds dreadful to humans, but to a dog, they're like, what do you mean dreadful? That sounds terrific. You know, I mean, come on. That's exactly what dogs and cats want to eat. So, okay, so what's a recipe we can give them quickly? Because I know you want to talk about Labor Day, but I know people want a recipe.
A great recipe for a dog, a chicken breast, a sweet potato, and a little bit of broccoli would be wonderful. What about for a cat? A little piece of chicken or a piece of salmon, depending on whether your cat is a meat cat or a fish cat, and some finely grated shredded zucchini work well. They like that raw. Cats also, for some reason, love creamed corn. So 80% meat, 20% veggies, and there's a couple of real easy recipes for you. For those of you that might be thinking of enjoying the festivities over the upcoming Labor Day holiday, you can enjoy many of those things with your pet. And you can do things like make frozen orange juice ice cubes and little bits of your meal. If you're having hamburgers with potatoes and carrots, that's as good for you as it is for your dog. When pets get a little older, I warn people that as humans and pets age, red meat is a little harder to digest than white meat. So chicken and turkey are always going to be easier on the digestive system than, for example, venison and beef. But everything is to be taken with a grain of salt, so to speak.
Well, what about yams? Because I noticed dogs love yams. Are
yams
potatoes or are they vegetables? What do they rank as?
Like, yams are carbohydrates.
They are, okay.
They go into the potato category, and they're just wonderful. So if you want to feed your dog a chicken breast, a yam, and some green beans, that's a perfect amount. If you have a 30-pound dog, he's going to eat 1 cup of food twice a day, and in that cup, 1/3 is going to be chicken, 1/3 is going to be sweet potatoes, and one-third is going to be your vegetable, which might be peas, carrots, broccoli, cauliflower, whatever you might choose. For those of you that have great big dogs or aren't really fond of cooking, buy a crock pot. Take a crock pot, and you can, wherever you happen to shop, whatever market, get a whole chicken, get a big bag of that brown rice, and buy a can of that low-sodium chicken consomme. Dump it all in the crock pot, put the lid on, plug it in, let it cook for at least 6 to 8 hours. That's important so that that rice is really cooked. At the end of the day, unplug it, let it cool down, get rid of all the bones, and then take a bag of fresh veggies and just throw them in raw. That provides texture, it gives a little bit of crunch and a little bit of color. That would be enough food to feed two medium to large-sized dogs for about a week, and it'll cost you less than $15.
Okay, we're running out of time, but I want to ask you a couple of quick things. What about yogurt? Is that good?
Yogurt is great. If you get organic yogurt, it's a source of bacterial cultures, something that we refer to as probiotics. Lactobacillus, for example, is a friendly bacteria. A lot of dogs love yogurt. Get some with fruit in it so it's tasty. You can give it as a little snack. And if your pet has a little bit of indigestion, remember that those friendly bacteria line the intestines. And those nutrients, it promotes absorption of the dietary nutrients after they've been absorbed. So yogurt is a great big yes.
Okay, now what about stuff that maybe isn't good anymore for us? Like the cheese ends you want to cut off because it tastes like the fridge. Is that okay to give your dog?
If it's not good enough for you, it's not good enough for your dog. So if you're not going to eat it and you don't consider it to be table food, don't give it to your pet either. And cheese, stay away from.
Okay, so 1-866-DR-CAROL if you guys want more advice, customized
Absolutely.
Pet advice.
Give me a call anytime, 372-2765-866 area code.
1-866-372-2765, 1-866-DR-CAROL. Thank you, Dr. Carol. It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate your time
well,
today.
Thank you, Deborah, and I wish all of the Pet Talk loving listeners a terrific, safe, happy Labor Day weekend.
And a yummy weekend, thanks to you. Thank you, Dr. Carol.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that I need you too.
Scratch it.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
People speak English, Spanish, or any other human language. The man you're about to meet speaks Doglish.
We've never met anyone who claimed to be able to talk to a dog. That is until we met an unusual dog trainer named Vladi.
The Russian Dog Wizard is on the air.
We have Debbie McGilvery on tap, and she's an animal communicator with over 15 years' experience, also the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Pet Psychic Communication. Should be very interesting. We're coming up next with her on Dog Talk Radio.
It's a rough world out there, son. It's dog eat dog.
All right, you ready?
What?
Please listen.
You're listening to the Russian Dog Wizard Radio Show.
La la, la la, la la. Look, if you just tune up to our radio, this is the Dog Talk with the Russian Dog Wizard. And we have a tremendous fun. I have an exciting guest today. And I cannot tell you enough how I'm excited right now to bring on the air Debbie. Debbie is the professional animal communicator. And she has 15 years experience and had clients all across the globe. She's the author of the book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Pet Psychic Communication. She was featured everywhere across America, including National Geographic Channel and many other local news programs. I love the stuff like this. I really love it. And, Debbie, let me bring you in. And could you tell to our listeners a little bit about your spectacular background? What my KGB sources told me, that you honestly yourself, before involved in this type of the business, you attended some type of the seminars and you just found a talent in you. And you started, and you achieved what you achieved, and I don't believe it just because you attended. I think you had that talent, because like we say in Russia, who was born to crawl will never fly, but who was born to fly will fly. It's your word, Debbie.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. It's I've been looking forward to it. You know, I do not feel that only a few people get to have this ability. I truly believe we all have this ability within us, and my story kind of proves that. I took an animal communication class a long time ago, and my friends had to prompt me to go, and I really didn't want to because I was afraid if I actually could hear what the animals wanted to say that I would be too sad. So, but anyways, I did. I took a class, and it was a little goat who gave me the validation that I needed because I was very skeptical. I didn't believe that, you know, this was possible, and I thought it was a bunch of hoo-hoo. But this little goat looked at me, and I heard him say, you know, don't you think I'm handsome? And, of course, I'm like, well, I made that up. And then he said, your pants are funny. And he was correct. I had on flowered stretch pants at the time, which is a big fashion no-no. But, again, I thought it was my imagination.
And you made it. Sarah, don't you think it's a little bit sounds a little bit new age, like a new age?
Yeah, I think it does. And I think a lot of people kind of feel that way. But I don't know. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, go ahead. So basically, you got yourself in, you did study, and after that, you know, you start to really talk to those animals. You really get their point of the story. It's so interesting because I'm dealing with those clients all the time, and you know, sometimes, and I'm maybe not as good as you. I don't have that crystal ball which you have to figure out what is the story behind the story. Let's we put you through the test, Debbie. I'm ready. I'm so excited like this. I'm going to bring real caller people. And he's going to tell us his story. And if you could please tell him, what do you think about his situation?
I will need to know the dog's name and just the physical description of the dog, what the dog looks like in order for me to connect. So, and then I will be able to make the connection.
Okay.
Got a question? Call Vladdy.
Mr. Producer, I have a special producer, by the way. You know, I have a co-host, I have a producer, I have an engineer, you know.
It was the real deal.
Yeah, the real deal. I have some specialty. Hold on, let me have it.
Hello. Does anybody hear this broadcast?
Sarah, you know, we have a great time to do this, and you look so adorable today anyway.
Oh, I thank you.
Yeah, okay. So let's bring our second caller. So, Mr. Producer, bring the caller number two. Okay, Matt, you are with the Russian Dog Wizard. You are on the Dog Talk, straight talk about your dog, and with our very special pet psychic, Deborah. Deborah, I don't want to be impolite to you. I know it's the biggest crime in America to mispronounce the last name. Could you tell me your list?
McGilvery.
And, you know, I love that lady before even I met her. I don't know if I can say it like that. It's not just because she's pretty, but her eyes, when she looks to someone, it's like she can see behind that person, like she can see wall behind that person. Matt, pretty quickly, tell your life, not your life story, tell your situation about your dog, quick.
Well, my girlfriend and I just adopted a shepherd husky, and he is scared of everything in this world. Scared of everything. And
scared of you?
He's scared of me. He's scared of dogs. He's scared of other people.
What about your girlfriend?
He likes her.
Do you like your girlfriend?
Most of the time, yeah.
Do you sleep? Oh, I'm sorry. Do you live with her? I mean.
I do. So it's me, the girlfriend, and the dog.
Okay. So you call Debbie.
So what is your dog's name?
Timber.
Timber?
Mm-hmm.
And how
like
old
a
is Timber?
Wolf.
Okay. And how old is Timber?
We've been told three about.
Okay. And is he typical Siberian Husky or Shepherd Husky coloring, like your Shepherd color?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on one sec. I'm going to make the connection.
Okay. While she's making connections, I have to tell you, the three things for what I think should have been done, number one, you should sleep together with that dog. Well, not really in the same bed, but the dog needs to sleep next to you. Number two, you should work with that dog. It means every time when you go pick up the milk or something, the dog needs to follow you. You have to have a better bonding with that dog. And number three, so working together, sleeping together, and eating together. What I mean, always when you're eating, I know if your girlfriend cooking for you or not, I don't know, you know, I really, but when you're eating, whatever you eat, your junk food, whatever you have, you know, if you eat it, make sure share with your dog. I hate to tell you, this is not what the trainers will tell, but you are not driving under normal circumstance. So I hope Debbie made the connection. And
I
Debbie,
did.
Diagnosis is?
Well, you know, what I keep getting from Timber is Timber is terrified of ending up in the situation he was in before, and he did not have a good relationship with the person who had him before. He shows me what this person looked like a very large man who yelled a lot, was just very vocal, slammed things a lot. So he has this insecurity and this fear, and he doesn't know where he fits in your life. He needs a job. He needs a purpose. Then he'll start to build up his own security. So if you can give him a job in your home so he feels important, so he knows where his niche is, that will help him to feel more secure in your life. And to just, you know, explain to him that he is here for good. He's so afraid of going back to that situation that he won't allow himself to kind of let go and trust. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does make sense for me, and I'm sure for the man. Debbie, I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated with your, you know, with your outlook and with your prognosis, not prognosis and diagnosis. Look, I would love to have you more and more. And where people can get your book, by the way?
I have a new book out. It's called Untamed Voices, where we speak with not only dogs, but tigers and lions and bears. Oh, my. And it is available on Amazon or at our website, untamedvoices.org. And a lot of the money goes right back to the animals.
Wow, and I would get one copy because I would like to learn how to communicate better also with the humans. They're always a problem, not the dogs. Maybe
that's
my wife
part.
Gonna cook for me eventually or do something when I tell her. I can influence. I just can look at her and say nothing, and she will do something for me. Is it the male's dream,
oh,
Sarah?
Oh, please.
This is a shut up, Lottie. Yeah, okay, I know. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, David. We will have you back, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Debbie.
Bye-bye.
Dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet Treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Hello, welcome to All Thoughts Pet Talk Radio. It's Deb Wolf, and I'm hosting today. And I've got two guests today, two doctors. You don't have to wait in line. You don't have to have your Medicard care card ready. You don't have to be all paid up on your insurance. Today, you get to talk to two doctors and find out what's going on for free with All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We've got Dr. McPhail and Dr. Harmon. They're both here. Welcome to the show, you guys.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, today we're talking about something that's a little unusual for me. They're speaking about Land Animal Hospital and what's being done there with stem cells. So right away, that's just a huge question marks. I don't even understand how that relates to animals, or isn't stem cells something very controversial? There's research on it to try and prevent diseases in the future. I mean, isn't that sort of what we're normally used to with this?
Well, it sounds like a lot of questions all rolled up into a short sentence here. But Dr. Harmon here, I think, can explain that a lot better.
Yeah, so stem cells are really how we naturally heal. So if Dr. McPhail tore a ligament in his shoulder out playing rugby, his own stem cells would actually help do that repair. So it blocks the scar tissue and helps the repair. All we've really done is created a way to help his clinic use an animal's own stem cells for healing. So I'll let him describe a little bit what he does in the clinic, but it's just very natural healing. It's how we all normally heal.
Okay, right. So you do this with people, is that right, Dr. Harmony? And he does
this with animals? All with animals, 100%
all with animals.
Horses,
okay.
Dogs, and cats. So we don't work, we collaborate with the human side and learn from them, and they learn from us in the veterinary world, because overall in the U.S. now we've treated over 10,000 pets with their own stem cells. So it's not the controversial embryonic stem cells you hear about. We don't do anything with embryos. We take stem cells out of a little small sample of fat collected in Dr. McPhail's clinic.
That's almost like when you think you're going to have surgery, so you donate your own blood in case you're going to need it. It's that sort of a thing, right? It's your own body for helping you.
Same kind of concept. Once we have a candidate for stem cells, which is usually most commonly used for arthritis, in dogs, usually bigger dogs with bad hips or bad knees or bad elbows. But once we find a candidate, we basically go through a small general anesthetic procedure where we remove some fat. And it's not much fat. It's only about 60 grams of fat. And we send that out to the lab. The lab processes it. And then 48 hours later, we're injecting the stem cells from the fat into the affected joints.
That's amazing. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. I mean, really, how did you even think of this? Like, what led you to figure this out?
Well, I found out about stem cells at some of the conferences I go to. But Dr. Harmon, he's the one that runs the company and has been there for
almost a decade now. So this is technology from the University of Pittsburgh and the University of California. And their plastic surgery groups discovered there was this huge reservoir of stem cells in our fat. So Deb, I haven't met you before, so I don't know if you have any reservoir fat, but I've got my own little it's my own little stem cell reservoir. And in about 10 years ago, that was discovered that these stem cells were in fat. So we just developed a technique so we could extract them, put them in a syringe, so they're ready to inject back in the animal. So you're just, you know, it's the old saying, patient heal thyself. We're just helping the patient heal themselves with their own cells, and the real hard work is done by Dr. McPhail and his group to find the right candidate and then do the diagnosis and the treatment.
I'm just amazed by this. And so if a dog has fatty lumps, you know how they do as they get older, they get these little bumps and cysts and things, and you're always having to go have them cut off or aspirated or biopsied. Can that be what they use so the dog doesn't have to actually go through anything else? Or is that not enough?
Unfortunately, those are called lipomas, but they do not have many stem cells in them.
Yeah, and they're kind of a little mini tumor, really.
Yeah.
And so it's better not to use those. But as you probably know, if you look at the pets walking around in our communities, they all have plenty of extra little fat. And again, it's a couple of tablespoons of fat. It really isn't very much that they have to donate. And it's a very quick, like a spay, right, Dr.
Yeah,
McMill?
Quick 20-minute procedure.
Wow, that is fast. Okay. It's just amazing that you've applied this to animals. Can you share a story of a dog that had this happen and benefited?
Well, we had a Doberman Pinscher come in. He was about 12 years old, and they're prone to bad hips and knees anyway, but he couldn't stand up without being in excruciating pain. So he was qualified fairly quickly. He was a healthy dog otherwise. All his organs are functioning well, no sign of cancer or tumors anywhere. So he was a candidate. We got his stem cells, we injected them, and then about 3 weeks later, he started improving. And once he started improving, he was actually able to not only stand up without pain, but he began jumping in and out of the car, which he hadn't done for almost 5 years.
That's pretty amazing. Dobermans have an intense personality and a really high pain tolerance. In my experience, just anecdotally training them over the years, I've had some incidents with Dobermans where you just wonder if they can feel pain at all. You know, the dog is out running on the ice. He's cut his pads to shreds. They call me because they can't catch him because he's so excited and happy. He won't stop running. He's bleeding all over the place. So this dog was in a lot of pain to be not even standing. And then to go from that to being able to jump in the car. I mean, the people must have been so happy. It's like they got their old dog back.
Correct. They were ecstatic.
Yeah, we actually saw a really interesting patient this morning, and this dog was brought in by the owner, and it was a only 18-month-old Labrador, and it had a personality like different than you'd expect in a lab. Normally, they're kind of bouncy at that age. This poor dog just was quiet, and he looked happy. After they treated him with stem cells, the owner called back to the veterinarian that had done the treatment and said that they were shocked that the dog now was running all over the backyard, that he was in pain. And as you say, often the dogs hide their pain. And especially when they come in a veterinary clinic, they'll hide their pain because they're a little bit afraid. And so, boy, the pain is worse than we think. And if you think about what it feels like to walk around an arthritic joint or if you have a relative that has bad arthritis, those dogs feel the same pain.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think your point is really well taken. Sometimes, it's not that often, but sometimes I'll get called in to train a dog, and right away I have to tell the person, you got to see the vet. This is not a behavioral problem. All of a sudden, your dog won't tolerate being touched by other dogs or jostled or pushed, but actually, it's not an attitude thing. Your dog's in pain. I can see by the way it's holding itself, like everything hurts, you know, and wincing at the anticipation of being jostled. So sometimes we don't notice because, like you say, dogs really hide it. And I would suggest that cats hide it even better. Do you do treatments on cats?
You can do cats also, yes.
Yeah, but
so
we've had exactly the same thing as you said. Most owners don't realize their cats are in pain. It's, you know, it's sad because they just think their cat's old or quiet, but really they're in pain, and cats respond the same way. Now all of a sudden they get treated, and they're jumping up on the refrigerator and doing things they didn't do before, and so it really is functional also in cats.
Well, I think the cat thing is particularly easy for us to understand when you've taken into account their size. You know, if you're a 10-pound animal or 15-pound animal and everything wants to eat you, even though you're a predator, still, raccoons want to eat you, foxes, coyotes, wolves, everybody wants to eat you, you're not going to make a fuss when you're in pain. You're not going to go yip, 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 like the little puppy dog who's kind of going to be bigger and is expecting to be taken care of. You're going to have a little bit more of a primitive instinct if you're hurt to go and hide somewhere or to just lay low. And that's what I think. Sometimes people have cats that are a little bit mean or ornery or nasty or aloof, and actually the cat's sick and they just don't know it. So if you get a marked change in behavior in one of your animals, it's really worth looking into whether or not there's some pain going on, because there's no real reason for a dog or cat to go from being loving, playful, affectionate, active to not all of a sudden. You know, really, there should be something that caused that. And sometimes it's somebody new moved in, a new pet in the house. Sometimes you can figure it out. But a lot of times it's something the doctors need to take care of. So you see cats, you see dogs, but you don't see humans, huh? Is this available for humans?
This is a really good question. So mostly not. It's been kind of slow in the U.S. It is approved in Europe, Japan, Brazil, for a number of conditions like heart disease and MS. The U.S. is coming along, and I think there will be approvals.
Okay, you know what, Doctor? We've run
years.
Out of time.
Again, these are all adult stem cells. You know, this is not the embryonic stem cells that was all the controversy. So again,
okay,
these
you know what?
From
run
the
out
patient
of time
generally.
In this segment, Doctor.
And so we think it'll be approved much more quickly here than the work on embryonic stem cells.
Okay, we ran out of time, but I want to come back and talk more about the human aspect of this. Stay tuned to All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy, I'm your doggy, and I love you. And you know that I need you too.
We are family.
Land Animal Hospital, now open 24 hours, 7 days a week, is a full-service animal hospital and will take both emergency cases as well as routine medical checkups. Deland Animal Hospital offers a myriad of services such as dental work, orthopedic surgery, stem cell therapy, reproductive medicine, oncology cancer treatment, and routine vaccinations. Our ideology to veterinary care is ongoing nutrition and problem prevention, which is facilitated through the use of state-of-the-art technology and medicine. Located at 2120 East International Speedway Drive, call 386-734-1802. The number again is 386-734-1802. On the web, www.delandanimalhospital.com. Mention that Teddy sent you to receive 50% off your first exam fee. Deland Hospital, where we treat your pet like family.
We are family.
Pet Talk Radio. We're talking to the Land Animal Hospital doctors, Dr. Harmon and Dr. McPhail, and they work together to bring stem cell benefits to animals suffering, including dogs with arthritis and cats with arthritis. And I was kind of asking them, what about people? Right when we got to the break, they were talking about my fat. I want them to keep their hands off my fat. So what about people?
So it is happening. There are hundreds of clinical trials in every disease you could imagine, from heart disease to arthritis. They've got a study going on looking at knee arthritis, a study treating patients with MS and Parkinson's. So there's a huge amount of work, not just millions, but billions of dollars being spent in the U.S., and all those are working their way through the FDA approval process, and we're just sort of lucky in veterinary that our FDA folks have said that if we're using the patient's own cells, that that's approved already, and we can do that. And Dr. McPhail's clinic is one of the early adopters in doing this and bringing it to his clients. And it's not complicated. It's not scary. It's not Star Trek. This is just, you know, using a patient's own therapy. And you might comment, Dr. McPhail, like, why did you start doing it? What was sort of the impetus to do stem cell?
Well, I started it because my clients started asking me about it. They said they've heard stem cells doing miraculous things in other countries for people. Why can't we do it for dogs? And the next conference I went to, I attended some classes and learned all about it.
You know, you mentioned Star Trek, and I have to say, in Star Trek's defense, the medicine on Star Trek was pretty amazing. I mean, if only we could get needles like that. If only we could avoid dialysis by taking a pill that regrows a kidney. I mean, come on. You got to want Star Trek medicine.
You bet. You will see in the next decade that human and veterinary medicine will be totally reformed by using stem cells, commonly called regenerative medicine, because we can regenerate tendons and ligaments. We can repair damaged hearts, kidneys, essentially any of the major tissues in the body there's good data already on how we can regenerate them. So it will, in a decade, you're going to go to your sports medicine clinic or your veterinary clinic, and you'll have cells being used for all of these kinds of diseases and organ failures. We're already seeing it in kidneys and cats, but the clinics like Deland really are sort of at the vanguard, and we get invited often to suggest a veterinarian to speak at human stem cell conferences because, again, having done 10,000 patients all over the U.S. and Canada, we're pretty advanced in terms of understanding how this technology works, and so we share our experiences with our human doctor colleagues and vice versa. They share what they're learning in the labs and their clinical trials. And so really it kind of is one medicine, you know, dogs, cats, and humans are not all so different.
I think it's amazing that how much is similar. I mean, cats are sort of the oddball in this package. Dogs and humans are a lot more similar, but even still so much we take advantage of now was, I mean, even insulin for diabetics has to do with pigs and dogs. We owe so much to animals for what we're benefiting now in medicine. But as I talk about that, I kind of get to the sticky issue. Are there any ethical concerns raised by this? Or is anybody upset about this?
With the stem cells we're using, again, they're coming from fat, and there is no embryonic used at all. Nothing from the embryos, nothing. It's just fat. That's all we're using. So there's no ethical debates or moral debates about the process we're using with the fat stem cell.
What if an animal?
We have clients all over the U.S., from the Bible Belt to the most liberal parts of the country, and the veterinarians and the owners, all after just a couple of minutes of saying, boy, this is your dog's own stem cells, and you're just taking them out and removing them around, putting them where they need to be to do the repair. There are no questions, no debates, and because it's the patient's own cells, the side effects are nearly non-existent. You know, there's a small surgery to collect, but other than that, you're just using the patient's own cells. This is not foreign synthetic material. So the controversies sort of evaporate, you know, in this technology.
Well, I guess there's a cost benefit too, in that you're now off all the meds you were on with all the major side effects and all the meds you had to take for those. But how expensive is this treatment?
Well, the treatment from start to finish can range, kind of depending on the size of the dog, but it ranges roughly from $2,000 to $3,000, depending on, again, how big the dog is, how many joints you need to inject, and different applications. It just varies slightly.
And is that supposed to be, I keep thinking of hair removal. Is that really guaranteed, or is it like, well, you come back when it bothers the dog again? Is it sort of really permanent, or is it what maybe needs to be redone?
Well, with my experience, I can say every animal that I've treated has shown improvement. It has varied a little bit from moderate improvement to great improvement, like the example of the Doberman Pinscher we used earlier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But all dogs, and I haven't done any cats yet, but all the dogs have shown improvement. And the improvement can last from 6 months, sometimes all the way out to 48 months. And it can be repeated if we need to.
And one of the things that's really important to recognize, when we do the original collection, when Dr. McPhail does the collection and sends the fat, there is always extra. And
okay,
we bank, in a frozen bank, these cells, just like you would bank cord cells from a human baby. And they're in the freezer for these dogs. So if they come back in a year or 2 years and they need to be topped off, they need another injection in a joint or something new, then it's considerably cheaper because we don't do a surgery. The clinic doesn't need to do a surgery. We just thaw out those cells and send them out. And they last in that freezer for the lifetime of the dog.
So, okay, we're talking about fat cells, and I know you were joking about mine, but I'm a pretty lean, thin person. What if your pet is really lean and thin, or maybe too thin because of its illness? Maybe it's terribly underweight, it's skin and bones. Can you still find something?
You can, and I use my own dog as an example, Lucy. She's a 10-year-old pug that started losing the ability to use her back legs, and she had no fat on her at all because she basically just was wasting away with the muscles and the fat.
Mm-hmm.
I used a fat sample from the inside of her abdomen.
Oh, wow.
A lot of times what I've found is that the leaner the dogs are, the more concentrated the stem cells can be. So.
Okay, that's interesting. I wonder if eventually you'll come up with a way to trigger this so you don't need to remove it and reposition it and insert it again so that it's just something, I don't know what, a certain kind of light, a certain kind of pill, I don't know, that will tell the body to do this. Are you working on that?
Lots of companies working on that, as you might imagine as well, but so far we've not found any way that works well. So there may be ways in the future, and probably in the 4 or 5 year range out, we'll actually have some FDA products that are stem cells in a bottle that are like universal blood type. But that's a long process, just like it is on the human side, to get through the veterinary FDA. So in the next 4 or 5 years, we've got their own cells to use, but we will eventually have cells in a bottle right off the shelf that could be used in emergency.
And that will happen.
Then you'll
Like generic insulin was made from people.
Exactly.
You could do that,
exactly.
And then it would trigger. That's amazing. That's amazing to think about, really. So you guys are, like, just so far ahead, and you're speaking to all the human doctors to get them up to speed. So someday, maybe, we'll all be able to benefit from this. That's just amazing to think about.
Yeah, you will for sure, because the data from the clients that Dr. McPhail treats goes into publications and into presentations, and the human FDA and a lot of companies take notice of that because we're really at the edge of seeing how real clinical patients do. So it's pretty cool.
So if somebody today is listening somewhere in America or Canada or even in Europe and they're thinking, you know, or Korea, our show's heard all over the world, if they're thinking, you know, my dog is really stiff and sore and I would like to try this, what do they do? How do they figure out if their dog's a candidate and how do they find out where they can get access to this kind of treatment?
Well, you have to call your veterinarian, and the trick sometimes is finding a certified veterinarian that can do the stem cell process. And basically just takes a phone call to the vet.
Yeah, and if they go to vet-stem.com, we actually have a service on there where we've got veterinary clinics like Deland that have been through the certification process, have experience, and we can send them, if they're in any place in North America, we can send them to a local clinic like Deland that are experienced already, and then they could be evaluated by the veterinarian to make sure they're a good candidate. You know, not every patient would qualify, but to make sure they're a good candidate and that there's not some other diagnosis, because the work that's done by the veterinarians in the clinic is so critical. If you don't get the diagnosis right, you can't get the treatment right.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you very much today, gentlemen, Dr. McPhail and Dr. Harmon from Land Animal Hospital, helping us help our pets. Thank you so much for bringing this new science to us today. Really appreciate it from All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Thank you.